Tonight, more than any other Sunday night, we need to dance. We want to hear stories, your memories of George Ginescu and BBSN. He was the best friend big band music ever had, and a friend like George is never forgotten, as long as we all keep dancing. Join us now for I Remember George Ginescu, a special tribute program from Zoomer Radio.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome along here to I Remember George Ginescu, a tribute show. I'm Frank Proctor. I've got the honor, and I really mean that, of hosting this show, along with someone very special, his son, Robin, who's sitting beside me in the studio right now. Hi, Robin.
How are you, Frank?
I'm terrific. Thank you very much. I attended George's funeral yesterday in Barrie, and you were outstanding. Unbelievable.
Thank you very much. It was something I had a long time to prepare for. I think inadvertently, Dad knew that I would be in that position, and you get some of that skill by osmosis. Not all of it, but we got through it. It went the right way. Karen and I were so pleased, and it came off properly. It was a celebration. That's when it started. It continues today. But before all the laughter and the stories and the tears, Karen and I really want to make a point of singling out people here at Zoomer Radio who really stepped up for Dad the last year and a half. He had his challenges. The artificial hip, the loss of the driver's license, the car accident. And I want to start with you, Frank. I know it's not about you today, but I really have to get to this. Dad was in a crash, ended up in the hospital, severely dehydrated, really not coherent. And all he can think of is my show, my show, my show. My sister can't even talk him down. Finally, thankfully, we get through to the station, and who comes on? Frank Proctor. Got him on speakerphone. Dad is still incoherent. My show, my show, my show. He's babbling. Frank knows something's wrong, and he says, George, 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 don't worry, my friend. I got your back. So for one more time, Dad, don't worry, my friend. We got your back.
And about a half an hour ago, I'm sitting here, and Robin brings out something in a little cellophane package. And those of you who are fans and are fans of George's know, you know what he thought of Veterans and Remembrance Day. I was given his Remembrance Day pin that he kept safe all these years and wore on Remembrance Day. And I have that, and I can't tell you what that means to me. Absolutely marvelous. Now, we're going to open those lines, you know, and ask you to call in. We want your memories. We want you to tell people how much George and Big Band Sunday Night meant to you. Here are the numbers, 416-360-0740, and then toll-free 1-866-740-4740. I've just glanced up and through the window in the control room. I can see Robbie Lane coming into the station, taking his coat off, so he'll be joining us very shortly. Absolutely great news there. And let me at this moment in time say I agree with Robin that certainly this evening is not about me at all, but there were so many people here at the station who over the past few days devoted a lot of time and attention to reclaiming the many memories that we have of George. A special thanks going out to Justin Eacock, Kelly Robotham, Joel Schoenwell, our program director, Larry McGinnis, who is with us tonight, as a matter of fact, holding the baton and keeping us on the right track. But right about now, you know what? I think it's about time we heard from the man himself.
Big Band Sunday Night is 4 hours of words and music, bringing you an evening of timeless hits performed by artists whose star shone so brilliantly for so long, and some presently starting a climb in the firmament, each with respect for the music, the composer, and most importantly, you, the listener. You'll like it.
Thank you. stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear, just saying they be. Dream a little dream of me.
PBSN on Zoomer Radio. The Lady Ella, dream a little dream of me. I know I have told the story how my Uncle Del Motte took me to a concert, after which he introduced me to the lady. I stood right in front of her, bold as could be. She smiled, extended her hand. I never would have washed the hand if I had taken it. I just stood there, staring at this magnificent lady, not able to utter a sound, wanting to take her hand, but couldn't move. I have interviewed prime ministers, vice presidents of the United States, would-be presidential candidates, had lunch with Louis Armstrong, Natalie Cole, and so many others. I have met so many of the people we enjoy on BBSN, but none stopped me like Ella did. Mind you, I was only 17 at the time.
Hey, delighted to welcome into the studio right now the founder for AM 740 and our sister station and a whole bunch of Zoomer stuff, Moses Neimer. Hi, Moses.
Frank, that's a mild exaggeration. Of course, I'm not the founder of 740, though I did acquire 740.
And you had the rights to buy it when you could.
That's right. And renamed it and refocused it as Zoomer Radio. And that's in part what brings me here because, you know, when I did that, the first thing people said to me is, of course, you'll radically change the station. And I said, actually, not that much. I bought it because I like it. And they said, well, there's that stuff on Sunday that's really kind of antiquated and exotic isn't exactly the right word, but they were thinking of, you know, the Scottish show and the Irish show and then the big band show. And I said, no, I love that stuff. It's different. It's evocative of some of the founding cultures around here. And, of course, the big band music is some of the music that I grew up with.
And, of course, the guy who knew a lot about that was George Unescu.
Exactly. And I'm here in part, you know, like so many others of us, to not only pay respects, but to remind everybody as well as myself that when you have that thought, I really should reach out, spend more time with the guy, find out a little more about him, you should act on it. Because I began having this thought when I heard some time ago that George had had a few medical setbacks and there was some talk about some work on his hips and so on. I remember thinking, you know, I've been listening to this guy for all these years and enjoying very much his approach and his infinite store of stories and so on. I should spend more time with him personally.
And he appreciated the fact that you did reach out to
him. Well, I want
to tell you what an effect that had, that little meeting in your office. He was, you know, he was almost convinced that you were going to give him the pink slip, really. And so when his son, Robin, drove him down to the station for the meeting, and he went in your office, and he come out, and the first thing he said was, not to his son, Robin, who's waiting for him, gosh, I've kept my job, or, you know, they've just asked me to, you know, maybe lower the demographics a little bit. No, what did he say? He said, my God, he serves sushi. Can you believe it? Sushi. And Robin, his son, just broke up. He thought, of all the things he could have said with George, it was always about food.
Yeah.
But thank you for doing that. He thought the world of this radio station and all the stations that he worked with and the people he worked with. And there were three things that George respected the most, and that's the music, the musicians, and most important was his audience.
Yes, and what I loved about him as well, given the metaphor underlying all of these operations, is that George kept going.
Oh, yeah.
And that's our motto. The best way to keep going is to keep going. And he was a perfect example of that.
That was such a great day for Dad and I. It didn't start out great, though, to be honest. At that point, Dad hadn't set foot in the studio for over a year. I mean, the show is now being voice-tracked and put together by technicians and a lot of guys behind the scenes really coming through for Dad. He just can't get here. So he says to me, listen, I got to go for a meeting with Moses Neimer. I said, what's going on? He says, well, listen, they're not bringing me down there to offer me a raise, I'll tell you that. I said, well, Pop, you know, what if it's the end? He just looked at me and said, listen, if it's the end, I just hope they let me wrap it up the way it should be. So it's a little tense in the car coming down. You know, he's got that 1,000-yard stare, which he doesn't get very much. I mean, this is a guy who is always totally present, right? Yep. So we come down, we get in the building, I go across the street for a cup of coffee, Dad goes into the meeting. So 2 hours go by.
Yeah.
I come back out in the parking lot, I pick him up, and I go, Dad, how'd it go? He says, it was great. We were singing war songs and talking about 1950s Montreal. I went, what? You're not canned? He said, no, God, no. He said, you know, I got to thinking, I really admire Moses, what he's accomplished in media. It's a brutal business. It's a tough, tough existence. And his body of work is really impressive. I wish I had his business savvy. That's the component of me that's missing. But
This is your dad speaking.
This is dad.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, oh my God, son, he brought in sushi.
It all came down to food with George, didn't it?
Always the food. It always came back to the food.
Yeah. Well, we're going to come back and actually hear from more listeners here on Zoomer Radio. Phone numbers again, 416-360-0740. And it's toll-free anywhere in the province, 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment.
Zoomer Radio. I remember George Ionescu. To share your memories of George, call 416-360-0740 or toll-free 1-866-740-4740.
Well, Robbie Lane just took off his clothes and... I'm in the studio. Wait a minute. He took off his coat and is sitting in the studio with us right now. Hi, Robbie.
Hey, George. Sorry.
Yeah,
this is George's place on Sunday night. So
that's right.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I'm a little shorter than George was.
Yeah.
Delighted
in a lot
you
of
could
ways.
Join us. Yeah. Now, you've got some memories of George yourself.
You know, I feel so lucky to be working at a radio station where there's so many people who connect with the listener on a one-to-one basis. But there's nobody that connected like George did. And I would listen to him almost every Sunday night on my way home from work. And I felt like a lot of listeners have mentioned that he was talking to me. The stories he told, I felt like I should be sitting at a bar stool next to him and listening to those stories, because that's how meaningful it was and how good he was at coloring that big picture in your head. And the thing about Robin, George's son is here, and thing about his meeting with Moses having sushi. When I had a meeting with Moses, they gave me Ritz crackers. So I don't know what that says, but...
thank you, Robbie. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here. Hi, and welcome to I Remember George Ionescu.
I don't know. It's just there's nothing to say, just that he turned our home into the Royal York Ballroom. And we used to go to all the big band dances when Jim Paulson was there. And being a performer, I've also sung at the Royal York. But nothing could compare to Mr. Ionescu's show on Sunday, because you were comfortable, relaxed at home, and he made you feel like you were special. Every birthday, he would, you know, play something special. Every anniversary, the anniversary waltz. And all I can say is you close your eyes and you feel like you're back in the ballroom. You didn't need all the extras.
Thank you so much, and I want to be the first to tell you that you can continue to enjoy George Ionescu, because the station has announced that they will be playing reruns of his show, which in many, many respects won't make a difference that it's a rerun, because he was always evergreen, if you know what I mean, right?
No, it doesn't matter. He's timeless.
Hope to have you tune in again next Sunday evening at 7 for BBSN.
Thank you for doing this.
More timeless hits on Zoomer Radio's Big Band Sunday Night. Louis Armstrong, Jeepers Creepers. During my most treasured 2 hours with Mr. Armstrong over dinner with 2 quarts of Agribi Caver, I asked my dinner guest, "Is it Louis or Louis?" "Daddy," he said, "of course it's Louis, but I have chosen to be Louis. Because when I was in the Colored Waves home in New Orleans, there was a mother of a matron who loved to press my buttons by shouting, 'Louis Armstrong, illegitimate son of a teenage prostitute,' and on she'd go. When I was free of her and the home, I vowed to stay away from Louis, so you and millions of others have and can call me Louis. Slurp, slurp, more wine, some chuckles, and then more storytelling. I believe that some things Louis started with me that day may be exclusive, at least to that dinner. What a privilege.
Well, surprise, surprise. One of my favorite people here at the station is Patricia Bridges, Patty. I always call her Patty. And She has walked in to show me an email that she received 5 days before George passed away on a Monday. So it's like 2 weeks ago, darn near. And I'm going to ask you, if you can, to read this. But pay attention, my friends, to the very first sentence after he says, "Hi, Pat." Okay, go ahead,
all
Patty.
Right.
Yeah.
"Hi, Pat. I'm in heaven these happy days. My two great-grandchildren and their mother have moved back to Barrie. Leaf is 3 and Winnie is 3 months. I'm exhausted trying to snuggle with Winnie, which means trying to pry her away from her grandmother and following Leaf around upstairs, downstairs, out to the patio, through my room, and in from the patio, into the dining room, and around and around. The house has been full of family getting in on the love fest. Oh, my business. Hope you may have such happiness. George."
Oh, yeah. And
I know.
He is in heaven.
He is. It was a beautiful note. George, whenever he would send me, I'm in accounting, whenever he would send me his invoices, he dropped me the occasional line here and there. I used to see him when I worked the reception desk a few years ago, and he wasn't in as much, but, you know, he would still write me these little tidbits, these little funny notes from time to time. But this, I didn't, it was wonderful. It was beautiful. And a lot of times I'm very busy, and I get back to him a few days later. I wrote back right away and I said, "Thank you, George. That's wonderful news. You know, I love your stories and I'm glad you're well." You know, he was such a joy.
I'm glad you came in to read that for us.
I know.
I don't think I could have gotten through it.
I know. I couldn't help it. It really stood out to me. When I found he passed, I brought it into the studio here. I was like, you have to listen to this note. It's wonderful.
Thanks
I'm
for
so
sharing.
Glad he was happy.
I remember George Ginescu with Frank Proctor on Zoomer Radio.
And joining me, of course, is Robin Ginescu, his son, getting all sorts of wonderful stories. Let's go back to those phone lines right now.
I have listened to George since I was probably in my 20s, and I'm 53 now. And the only thing I wanted to say was, Frank, I listen to you all the time, was... I was raised in foster homes all the time and from place to place. And the only sort of kind of relief that I had was I would just put his station on at nighttime. And it gave me, I sort of kind of wanted him to adopt me. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but it sort of gave me some hope. And even though I didn't know him personally, I just knew him from the radio.
You felt like you were part of the family, is that right?
That's correct.
Thank you for being part of our show tonight.
Snuck one in by the Ames Brothers, because many of you have commented it from previous BBSN shows on Zoomer Radio. My Ames Brother reference, Tumbling Tumbleweed, the brothers Joe, Gene, Vic, and Ed. I got to know Joe a bit in Los Angeles. He was just taking a secondary lead with the San Francisco Opera Company in the opera Aida. He inquired if I wanted to make a few bucks, accompany him to Frisco, and join the mouth-only Do Not Sing chorus, because I was tall and the opera needed tall spear carriers. I worked 3 shows, costing me about $150, as I made only $15 from the opera. But unlike my friends, I'm the only one who, well, can say I performed with the San Francisco Opera Company. We were instructed to open our mouths as though we were chewing leather. As Joe explained, nobody looks at the soldiers anyway. I read reviews for 3 days. There was not a word about the mute spear carriers.
There is not a raconteur better than that one right there, my friends. George Ginescu himself. As a matter of fact, Robin and Robbie are in the studio with me tonight. And I've got to relate a story that developed in the studios last Christmas. It was early part of December. And Ziggy Lawrence was in the little ante room here along with myself and George. And I said, hey, guys, let's just go in and do some wild tracking, wild recording, you know, talk about New Year's Eve and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, okay, great. So George proceeds to tell this story to the two of us. You'll love it. Here we go.
My first was, because I was a big guy, they said, that guy over there is really causing a disturbance. Do you mind asking him to leave? Oh, sure. You know, I was young and still stupid. And I went over and I said, hey, you're obviously having a good time, but you're making it difficult for other people to have a good time. I don't think that's really fair, you know, seeing an old year out and a new year in. And then he had a chorus of expletives for me.
Oh, you know, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, look, this doesn't make sense. I mean, you're supposed to be having fun, and you're making it impossible for everybody else to have fun. So he said, what are you going to do about it? You know, it's so I thought I'd committed to this. So I said, well, I'm going to ask you to leave, seeing as you won't quiet down, and make me.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
All right.
Line drawn in the sand, yeah.
Then I realized he's pretty inebriated. I should be able to handle this. So I helped him out of the chair.
Just for our listeners' sakes, George is about 6 foot, what, 5'6"?
Well, before I started to shrink into my hips, yeah.
You haven't shrunk.
No, you're still a very tall guy.
Oh, I love you for that. So, at any rate, I got him out of the chair, and at about 20 feet to the door, and I thought, well, I can do this as quietly as possible. So I got a firm grip on both shoulders, and I was sort of pushing him to the door. And he stopped abruptly, and he said, do you know who I am? And I thought, you know, this is it. Eh? And I said, no, quite frankly, I don't. He said, I'm the president of this company.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
That was my first New Year's Eve party, and I haven't gone to many since.
There's George at his best. Honest to Pete Robin. Isn't he something?
Well, you know, the recurring theme, two pretty different stories, but really the same thing. Always about the people.
That's right. Right.
Always, always. The first one, the opera, being underpaid. Well, the value is in the interaction with people, right? The money doesn't mean a thing to him. He has no passion for money, therefore he has no attention for it. He's got passion for people, so he's there, and he's there 100%. The second one, all about the people again. This guy is ruining people's good time. And dad's all about the people. We're not going to put up with that. He finds out who the guy is. He still doesn't care. I'll guarantee you, he would get rid of this guy so people can keep having fun and deal with the consequences later. That was dad.
Super. You're listening to I Remember George Junesco here on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
So enjoyed listening to George over the years, and I so enjoyed Double Up at 9 o'clock. His musical erudition, his kindliness, his gentlemanliness, everything. He was just a wonderful, wonderful broadcaster. I don't know about everybody else, but I will really, truly miss him.
I'm looking across the studio here at his son Robin's face, and he's got a huge smile on it. And you were the cause
son,
of that.
Robin, you sound quite a bit like your father, too. There's quite an inflection, and the timbre of your voice is very much like your dad's.
You're very kind to say that. That's a huge compliment for me, and I every man, I think, at some point in his life feels like he's turning into his father, and I can't think of a better fate for me.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it so much.
All the best.
Wow. Did that make your hair on the back of your neck go up a little bit, huh? Cleo Lane, along with Johnny Dankworth and his orchestra. Beautiful, blue, and sentimental. You are listening to I Remember George Junesco, a tribute show to one of the best guys ever that sat behind a microphone. He sat behind many microphones in his career. We'll hear more about that in a bit. His son Robin is in our studios with me right now. You know, the other day you were telling me, Robin, that there was only two occasions where you saw your dad cry.
Yeah.
Can you tell me that story?
Yeah. Well, as you recall, he was the most composed guy ever. I mean, he was the guy that if he was on a plane and something happened to the pilot, he was going up in the cockpit and he was going to learn how to land that thing. I mean, that was him, right? he cries twice in his life. Once is at his father's funeral. First time ever with a microphone in his hand. Dad's trying to eulogize Radu.
Mm-hmm.
And Radu's his hero. He doesn't quite get through it. He breaks down, apologizes. It was shocking. It was 2003. The only time I ever saw it happen wasn't in public. It was about 15 or so years earlier. I used to go down and visit Dad at Che Saturday nights, right? BBSN was originally Big Band Saturday Night. So I'd show up in my car, I'd stop at Tim Hortons, grab us a coffee. We'd go in and chat. And, you know, I'd been around there my whole life, different incarnations of radio stations. I knew when the red light came on, you know, I was on my own for a minute. Dad did what he did. You know, we'd get back together and chat between spots. And so this one particular night, the phone pot goes off. Dad says, "Good evening, caller. Welcome to BBSN." And this man begins to speak. Obviously quite elderly, maybe a little frail. At first, I think maybe the guy's been drinking. I mean, there's sort of a very timid way. So he starts to relate in monologue style this incredible story, basically, of his life. The time he'd spent in the service, coming home from the war, being diverted to Montreal by plane, having to take the train back into Toronto. He's got an army buddy with him. They're going home. They get into Union Station, and it's late. The station is pretty quiet. They come off the platform. Over the loudspeakers, Joe Stafford is singing "I'll Be Seeing You," recorded the year before. So this guy and his pal are walking across this deserted platform. They get into the main concourse, and here's this woman behind the luncheonette counter. And this guy now is all of a sudden not frail and weak anymore. The voice now is starting to gather some steam. It's like this guy is back in his recliner, and he's starting to relive this.
Mm-hmm.
It's compelling. I mean, Dad and I are riveted. He's got us. So he says, my friend and I are walking across the platform. I look across, and I see this woman behind this lunch counter. She's wearing a pink dress, a white apron, white lace collar. She's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. I look at my buddy, and I say, "I'm going to marry that girl." And he laughs at me. Well, I married her 6 months later. I was married to her for 42 years. Okay, now, my math skills, you know, it may not add up correctly. It's been a long time since I told this story. So we had a great life together. I lost her 4 years ago. I don't see my grandkids enough. My kids view me as a burden. I'm dying. I've got cancer. To be honest, things haven't been going very well. But, George, when you played that song tonight, and it wasn't just the song. I've heard the song many times over the years. But what you said, the way you framed it, the context that you put it in, you put me back at 21 years old, young and strong and healthy and love, the whole world laid out in front of me. And I just want you to know, for the first time in years, I smiled. My face hurt. The muscles to create a smile have not been used for years. So now I'm starting to tear up. Okay. George, Mr. Composure, no problem. Then he says, "Listen, George, I want you to know you've given a dying man great comfort knowing that you haven't forgotten my friends that didn't come home." George is done. Now, I'm now the one in control. I'm leaking. But George is going through these incredible body-racking sobs. I mean, he lost his composure completely. So the guy doesn't even get any interaction. It's like a 15-minute monologue, and he says, "Thank you very much." Boom, hangs up the phone. Thank God, because Dad couldn't even talk. So now Dad is abusing the cart machine because, you know, in those days, he had to throw the spots in manually, right? So Bayfield Ford, boom, 30 seconds. Irvine Carpet and Decorating, boom, 30 seconds. Alice's Country Bar, boom. He's just ramming them in one after another, 6.5 minutes straight. We blow the break. We miss an entire song. So now Dad finally pulls it together. He looks through the window, and the producer is saying, George, you blew it. You got 10 to wrap this thing up. This was his famous sign-off, right? So George, as only he can do, grabs the mic, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, in previous incarnations, this program has solicited interaction in the form of phone calls from listeners. That process has ceased tonight, as the previous 15 minutes of this program has rendered it entirely moot. Thank you and good evening.
Wow.
Done. That incident was recalled several times, and we got into the conversation where the music and the musicians and the audience were so important.
And here is the song that started that whole thing. Here we go. You're listening to Zoomer Radio, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. And, of course, you're listening to I Remember George Ginescu, BBSN, a special edition. We have wonderful people in the studio sharing all sorts of stories, and we have lots of folks, of course, on the line that are wanting to share their memories of George. So let's go to the lines.
I just want to say my 102-year-old mother, who passed away a year ago, and I were faithful listeners, and she loved Double Up. And she always loved the Ink Spots, and he would play the Ink Spots, but she looked forward to calling in. I would call in with her choice, and one time she won 7 weeks in a row, and I told George, he said, what does she know that I don't know?
That's great, Jim. Thank you for calling in.
A nice anticipation for Sunday evenings, Zoomer Radio's Big Band Sunday Night. Nat Cole had us all singing to The Lady with the Mystic Smile. Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? I had my eye on my own, if I could say it, Mona Lisa, at the time that was a hit, a lovely named Sonia. Never got up the courage to approach her. A mutual friend, Donna, whom I shall always be thankful to, let it be known that Sonia had rejected a few offers to the big snowball dance. It was number one. And Donna suggested that I call Sonia. Well, I did not call. I drew up all my self-confidence and approached her at a lunch break. Hi, Sonia. We have Miss Anderson's class in the same period. Would you go to the snowball dance with me? I know it's next Friday, and you probably have a date. It's okay. I just had to ask. Who's a lucky guy? Boy, you are dumb, she replied. I've been waiting for you to ask me. And I even know that you've been nominated as one of the guys to be named King of the Ball. Yes, I'll go with you, but if it's really cold, I'll have to ask my dad to drive us. Didn't like that. Still, trying to get my balance, I said, okay, but if it's cold, I'll call a cab. This is February in Timmins. It's always cold. We played our football games in the snow, pushed a skim of ice off McDonald's Lake for our May 24th choir band picnic. I stopped fumbling long enough to do what my older brother taught me to do. I'll pick you up at 8, and what color will your dress be so I can get the right color corsage? I think I stunned her with my brother's take-on-charge attitude. Don't remember much after that. The invitation was accepted, except Donna, the wonderful mutual friend, was treated to a milkshake and a mountain of French fries at the Bluebird Cafe.
And a week later, here's what happened.
Last week, I told a story about my hesitance in asking a high school beauty to the big dance. I mentioned her name, Sonia. I received a delightful email from Irina, who believes she is the daughter of that lady from Timmins circa 1950. She wrote, my husband and I were not really listening to the radio till I heard my mom's favorite song, Mona Lisa. Then you told the story of asking a certain Sonia to the big dance.
I am certain that was my mom. And you were, and I'm quoting, the most charming and desirable date. You even brought her a blue gardenia, which incidentally she pressed in the pages of her treasured Bible. End of quote. Helena continued in her email, I have a picture taken at the ball with you and Mom and a boy named Lloyd and his date. That's written on the back of the photograph, which I will mail you. Well, she's mailed it since this. See, boys and girls, I'm not a complete but washout. Thank you, Irina, for a most pleasant memory. The photo arrived. Sonia is, as I remember, beautiful. I was all neck above my brother's John's blue tie and with my nose, which caused one person to say, how do the other people breathe?
Classic Ionescu. Honest to God. You are listening to AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. It's a tribute to the wonderful George Ionescu. And we have in studio Robin, his son, Robbie Lane, and just arrived at this. It's most unusual, you know. On a Sunday evening, people are coming to work. And I can't thank you enough, Kelly Robotham, for all your help in getting this show ready for the air. It's just terrific. Justin Eacock is here. Larry McGinnis, our program director's here. And Ian Robertson is here as well. And we continue with more wonderful callers. Thank you for giving a call. As a matter of fact, let me give you the phone numbers. If you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Toll-free anywhere in the province, 1-866-740-4740.
Zoomer Radio. I remember George Ionescu. To share your memories of George, call 416-360-0740 or toll-free 1-866-740-4740.
Frank Proctor. Saying hi to one of the best morning men in the business, and I kid you not, he is the star of Breakfast Radio here at AM 740, Neil, Sam, and Jane. You've got to listen to these guys. They are so good. And he's on the line with us right now. Hey, hi, buddy.
You meant Roger Ashby was on hold.
You rascal, you. What do you got for us?
Listen, wow, who knew that George could command a party like this, right? I mean, that's not a surprise to any of us, but I wish we were gathering together for this under better circumstances.
True. Very true. Yeah.
So listen, I wanted to share a quick story with you. I'm surprised I was even able to get through and then pass the call screener. But my favorite story of George, and he knows I told it, and he knows I probably embellished around the edges a little bit, and yet he never stopped me, was the infamous story of the almost fist fight with Frank Sinatra.
Oh, good, you're going to tell this one. Oh, great. Okay.
So... Now, and again, either you or Robin probably knows this story better than I.
Oh, yeah.
So if I get any of the details wrong, feel free to jump in. But my recollection of the way George told me the story the very first time was that, I mean, we're going back, I think, 50 or 60 years.
1967.
There you go. And George is working in, you know, the hinterland. And Sinatra has a gig in, I don't recall if it was Windsor or Detroit, but that area. And so it falls upon George to do the interview with young Sinatra. So gets in the car and drives from the hinterland all the way down to the gig, which, you know, who knows how long that would have taken. I mean, but then again, all of us know that George didn't have any problem getting into his car on a weekly basis and driving from Barrie into the studios in Toronto to come and do BBSN. So not a surprise at all. But there he goes, driving from the hinterland to go and interview Sinatra, which takes hours and hours, obviously. He shows up and waits and waits and then waits some more for a Sinatra who is apparently running quite late. So Sinatra walks in, and in typical Frank fashion, is in a rather foul mood and doesn't want to do the interview anymore. At which point, George, who, you know, as anyone who ever met him knew, was of a stature that, let's say, you wouldn't want to mess with him, goes to take a step towards Sinatra to sort of perhaps gently read him the riot act, at which point someone that George always referred to when he told the story, at least to me, was a Vinnie No-Neck type, jumped in between George and Frank and prevented things from escalating to a point where, you know, BBSN may never have even gotten off the ground if Frank would have had his way with the way things could have gone.
Well, I heard a variation of that. And the one I heard was at the Sands Hotel in Vegas in 67. George is there with his wife on a radio station-sponsored junket. And they're walking through the hotel, and who's coming through? Old Blue Eyes. Now, you got to remember, Sinatra's going nowhere by himself. So there's four Vinnie No-Necks with him. Okay. And Frank looks at Dorothy, who's a beautiful woman, and says, "Hello, doll." Now, George,
this is George's wife.
George's wife.
Clarify, yeah.
George is holding her hand. He doesn't even exist. Sinatra is just locked in on this good-looking woman. So Dad now is contemplating what to do, and he just sort of very casually slides in front of George, or sorry, in front of Dorothy, puts himself between Sinatra and his wife. Well, the entourage now is starting to sense something might be amiss. Okay.
And now, that's putting it gently.
George is 6'3", 195. He can be physically pretty intimidating.
Imposing.
When he wants to be. He has the ability to change his physicality. What people don't realize is that he can't back it up. He abhorred violence. He was far too skilled to have to resort to punching somebody in the face. It's just not in him. He'll never forgive himself if he has to do it. But he can bluff with the best of them. So the entourage senses something may be right, and they just direct Frank in another direction. I mean, Vegas is full of beautiful women, right? You're Frank Sinatra. Just move on. It's not worth it, right? That's how I got the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I believe it was Cobo Hall in Detroit where that scene with Sinatra and Frank took place. With Sinatra and George took place.
George was such a big part of that scene and knew so many people. It doesn't surprise me that there may have been several Frank encounters and several that, you know, may have gone sideways.
Well, you've got to remember, too, these stories have been told dozens and dozens of times. George is in his 80s now. This stuff has all happened nearly 50 years ago. So you're going to get variations. But George was also pretty gifted with what we would call poetic license. Let's be frank here. I mean, I have accused him of selling more Whoppers than Burger King, right? And he always said to me, "Listen, son, if you find yourself in a library and you read the greatest book of all time, it just happens to be there. You pick it up. It's incredible. You can't put it down. It's one sitting, 3.5 hours. Does it really matter if you have to file it back in fiction or nonfiction?" That was Dad.
Wow.
The point was to be entertaining. The details really weren't that important.
Well, that makes me feel better about the way I wrote my resume. That's good.
I just picture the guys standing with Sinatra with a Sheldon Leonard-like sound to their voices saying, "You want to fool around with Frank Sinatra? You're going to wind up wearing a cement kimono, sucking mud from the bottom of the Hudson." Thanks for that, Neil. Appreciate it, buddy.
I'm so grateful to steal a couple of minutes, and I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Well, as Dad would always say, Neil, it was a joy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.